Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're really getting into the weeds of instrumentation and control projects, you know, how they actually work in industrial settings.
Yeah, we've looked at some sources that break down the phases step by step, and we're focusing a bit on the INC engineer's role, which is, well, pretty central.
Exactly. So our goal here is simple. Get a quick handle on how these projects go from just an idea to a finished system, and maybe uncover some of those crucial tasks you don't always see.
Right. So first things first, the team. It's always multidisciplinary. You've got your core people, project manager, mechanical, process engineer.
Planning, QC, electrical, and of course, INC.
Uh-huh. And the sources mention, you know, later on, site-specific roles join in. Plus, you always have procurement and cost control supporting everything.
And it's not always the same structure, is it? The sources say it varies.
Oh, absolutely. Depends heavily on the industry, project size. Mm. Sometimes roles are part-time. Sometimes one engineer, maybe electrical, handles INC too. Especially in, let's say, smaller setups, it's flexible.
Okay, that makes sense. So this team gets going. Where does the INC engineer jump in first? Calculation phase.
Spot on. Right at the calculation phase. Their input is, well, critical right then. They provide the technical detail needed to pick the right measurement and control stuff.
And they're already checking client specifications.
Immediately, yeah. Buried in the specs, making sure what's needed is actually feasible, day one stuff.
Okay, so calculation sets the stage. Then basic engineering. This sounds like where ideas start becoming sort of concrete plans.
Exactly. Now the INC engineer is deep in the design work, collaborating with the other engineers. Big output here. The P&IDs.
Piping and instrumentation diagrams.
Right.
Kind of like the master plan.
Precisely. They show everything, equipment, pipes, instruments, how it's all connected. You really don't want mistakes on those. Very expensive later.
I can imagine. What else is key in basic engineering for them?
Well, they're writing detailed specs for the INC gear itself, still checking client requirements, constantly negotiating sometimes with client engineers on technical points or scope.
And the sources really flag the HAZOP meetings here.
Yes. Hazardous and operability studies. That's a huge one. Big collaboration point.
Yeah.
The INC engineer is in there with the whole team, client folks, sometimes internal safety experts.
What's their specific role in HAZOP?
They're defining the safety controls, the interlocks, and the explosion protection needed based on the hazards everyone identifies. It's fundamental for preventing, well, bad things from happening.
Building safety in early.
Got it.
Then we hit detailed engineering. Sounds like Document City.
It really is. This is where the INC engineer turns that basic design into the nitty-gritty details needed to actually build it. Using software, they create the core docs.
Like the instruments list?
Yep. The big database of every device. Mm. The I/O list linking Cygnus to the control system. Data sheets for every single instrument and electrical item. Setting up alarms, trip logic.
So literally the instructions for how it all connects and functions.
That's it. And they also start and check all the installation documents, wiring diagrams, cable lists, panel layouts, often done by contractors, so that check is vital.
Making sure it matches the design intent.
Exactly. They're advising on installation methods, keeping an eye on the purchasing side for INC, writing descriptions for installation contractors, developing the control loop and automation docs, even selecting companies.
Wow, and manuals too.
And writing the first drafts of commissioning and maintenance manuals. It's a mountain of detailed work.
Seems incredibly thorough.
Yeah.
Okay, next up, pre-installation testing. Getting hands-on before things hit the site.
Yeah. Often they're traveling to vendor factories for FATs, factory acceptance tests. Checking function, yes, but also critically important documents.
Like certificates.
Material certs, explosion proof certs, the non-negotiable compliance stuff. Plus checking commissioning spares are sorted, testing systems at the contractor workshops too.
Smart. Catching issues early. Then installation phase itself.
Here, they're providing that crucial tech support to the site management for all things INC, helping with on-site tests as things get installed, tackling any, you know, unexpected site issues.
And checking deliveries.
And double-checking that the right equipment and spares actually arrived, matching the orders.
Okay, supporting the build. After that, commissioning. Bringing it all to life.
They're backing up the commissioning engineer who's doing a main startup, troubleshooting, functional checks. A key task for the INC engineer here is the final documentation loop.
Updating everything.
Right, because things always change a little in the field, so they create the final as-built drawings and manuals. That's the definitive record going forward.
The final truth of the system. And lastly, long-term support. spare parts, and after sales.
Yeah, working with the project manager, they kick off getting the essential spares procured and delivered, often planning for, say, the first 3 to 5 years of operation. It's about reliability after handover.
It really is striking how the INC engineer isn't just stuck in one phase. They're woven through the entire life cycle, aren't they? Talking to everyone.
It really highlights that building these industrial systems safely and reliably is just. It's an incredibly detailed step-by-step process. Each piece depends on the last. It's much more involved than maybe it looks from outside.
No kidding. So we've traced this whole INC project journey, seeing how that INC engineer role is so central, so varied right through every stage.
And thinking about how linked all these steps are, all the documents, all the checks, it makes you wonder, doesn't it? What happens if just one small detail, one check, one document gets missed or is wrong early on? What kind of risks might just build up silently? Something for you to think about.